Today we're going to do something actually that we don't often do. We're going to study the pshat of the chumash. You're going to need that, yes. Okay, you're going to need it. You're going to want it, I think, because for those of you, I mean, I don't mean to be chauvinistic. If you have sons, anybody here have sons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So they're going to come home one day having learned this stuff in the Mishnah, and I think it's worthwhile to be aware of it from the chumash. So we're learning from the Chumash. We're going to learn the parasha of the Dalit Shomrim. The Dalit Shomrim, and then after we learn the material in the text, because there is a sensitivity to the text, then we'll see, you know, how Rashi explains it, and then we're going to learn at the end a beautiful Orach Chaim, which is an ideology, a message that emanates from the text itself. So just to understand, what is a Shomer? Tammy, would you mind watching this for me?
Okay.
Sure, right, Tammy's watching this for me. Okay, who's responsible if something happens to it?
Oh, I just had this.
There you go. Okay, who's, you know what I'm saying? Who's responsible?
It depends if you're Shomer or not.
Yeah, we're going to throw around these terms.
Have
I paid you?
Is it a job?
No, I don't know. Very good. So we're going to learn all these. That's exactly the question. This is the subject of some of what I would consider the drier text in Parashat Mishpatim. And that's always a struggle what to do, you know what I'm saying? Usually, in the past, I've always skipped this stuff and done the stories. But sooner or later, you run out of stories and you have to, you know, attack the halachic text. So we're going to do that today.
The dry stuff is the crux of our life, because that's what rules our day-to-day activities.
Yeah, right. Most of it.
Runs a lot of business. It's a lot of the halachic business.
Shmira, let's see. The shomim are what they're called, guardians or watchmen or whatever. But it does affect, for example, can I borrow your car? You know what I'm saying? And some people don't mind. Some people do mind. Will you watch my dog, you know, when I'm away? And what happens if the dog runs away? And why did the dog run away? These are not simple matters. What?
The dog died.
Got stuck in a tree. Okay.
Oh.
What?
Something happened to me.
You watch a dog and it died? Well, let's find out.
I'm not going to leave my dog with you.
Okay. It just happens to be on my
list. Chavet Vav. We're in Parakavet Pasuk Vav. We're going to read that section. Because as we'll see, the sections themselves are not entirely clear. So it's worthwhile to study from the text, which is something that we never do from, you know, when they teach it to us in Gemara class. Because why would you learn Chumash? Okay. Ki yitain ish el re'ehu. I said Chavet Vav.
We're
like spacing out. Wait until I start. Chavet 22 Vav. Ki yitain. Everybody, shall we start waiting?
I'm sorry.
All right. We're going to do mostly Chumash and Rashi, a little bit of Ramban, and then we're going to see the Aruch Chaim at the end. Ki yitain. Ish el re'ehu. Kesef o kelim lishmor. Should a person give to his fellow man money or items to watch? Viguna mi beit ha'ish. And they are stolen from that person's house. Im yimatzeh ha'ganav, yishalem shnayim. Right? Should the ganav be found, he shall be paid twice. Okay?
Who is paid twice?
Who has to pay twice?
Yeah.
The Ganav. If the Ganav is found, the Ganav has to pay kefel. Has to pay twice. There's a punishment for stealing, as opposed to today, where we just kind of like shrug it up and say, you lost it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? If a thief is found, is caught, he has to pay double the value. He has to pay back,
okay.
He has to pay double.
That's, in any case, that has nothing to do with the shomer.
Correct.
Okay?
It's just interesting to note, we don't utilize shomrim nearly as much as they did in olden times for a very simple reason. And ostensibly, we have locks on our doors that are supposed to keep people out. Right? But way back when, if you went away, who was going to watch any money you had, anything of any value that you had? You had to give it to somebody else to hold on to, because otherwise your stuff would be gone. You know, as great as a lock is, how sophisticated could it be? You know, and now we trust alarm systems and whatever, but back then, Shmira, guarding was a much more, probably prevalent thing. Okay. I have to share with you a very beautiful midrash. The midrash says, notice the term that the Torah says, the ganav pays kefil. But someone who's a gazlan does not pay kefil. What's the difference between a ganav and a gazlan?
If you do it in front of other people?
Right. Ganav is someone who sneaks into your house and steals stealthily. A gazlan is someone who's a stick-up artist. Give me your dough. Okay? So the Midrash says, why is it that a ganav has to pay kefil, but a gazlan does not? So the Midrash answers, he says, because the gazlan, at least the ganav, is afraid of people, but he's not afraid of God. The gazlan, he's not afraid of people, and he's not afraid of God. Explain. Right? The ganav, when he goes in the middle of the night, you know that God is watching you, but you don't care. You do it anyway. But who do you care about? You don't want anybody else to catch you. You're afraid of people. Whereas the gazlan, like, he's not afraid of people, and he's not afraid of God. Like, he knows God is watching him, and he knows people are watching him. So the Midrash says the following. He said, the Midrash says, Mashal Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Meir said there was a Mashal. He used to use a parable. L'mad Dabar Domeh. Shnaim Shasu Mishteh Be'ir Echad. Two people made a party in the city. Echad Kara Et Bnei Ha'ir. Ve'et HaMelech Lo Kara. One, he invited all the people in the city except the king. Ve'chad Lo Kara Lo Et HaMelech Lo Et Bnei Ha'ir. But the other guy didn't invite the people, and he didn't invite the king either. So which is worse? The guy who invited everybody but the king, or the guy who didn't invite anybody?
The first is worse.
That's exactly the point. So to here, he says the gazlan is not as bad as the ganav. Because the gazlan, he's brazen. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. But the ganav, he says, I care what everybody thinks. The only person I don't care about, the only entity, the only being I don't care about is God. And I think it's a important lesson, just as a musar. Because how many of us do the same thing? Like, you know, if we knew if other people saw us doing XYZ, we wouldn't do it. But in the privacy of our own home, then we do it. Why? Because, quote unquote, no one is watching.
I have that about income taxes. People ask, what are the chances I'll be caught?
Really?
So I said, by who?
You must lose a lot of business when you act ethically.
Not so popular.
No, yeah, right. Okay. You should just say 100%.
100% chance?
Yeah. You know, there's a very famous story.
When?
No, you should, 100%. There's a story, a very famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim was being driven by a Bala Gola, you know what I'm saying, by a driver. And so when they stopped to rest, he needed to feed his horses. So he saw way down yonder, there was a farm. And so the farmer, I don't know if he knew who the Chafetz Chaim was, he says, you look on the lookout. If anybody's coming, I'm going to go take some straw. And if anybody's coming, you yell. So the guy starts, you know, snaking away. And all of a sudden, the Chafetz Chaim starts screaming, they're watching! And he's like, runs back. Like, what do you mean? Who's watching? He said, what do you mean, who's watching? Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. That's the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. So we all think we're not the gazlan or the ganav. Yeah, when in reality, yeah, not so clear. Okay. Im lo yimatzeh ha-ganav. So let's say they don't find the guy. Right? What's that?
It's always an ego boost. Okay.
I'll try to be more positive. We're all neither the gazlan or the ganav. Im lo yimatzeh ha-ganav. Yeah, last week, I won't do again what I did last week. Okay. Oh, yeah, I got some complaints.
I shouldn't have sold all my possessions.
What do you think bought him? Okay. Im lo yimatzeh ha-ganav, v'nikra ba'alavayit el ha-Elohim. I don't know, the Zionist ones, it might be hard to listen to on tape, but I think you all should feel pretty good, you know, when I start ranting about the Zionists. Okay. Im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'ev. If they can't find the ganav, right, so what happens? You have to understand the situation. Tammy, where's my book? What does Tammy say? No. If she says, we'll talk about that. What if she says, what book? Im lo yimatzeh ha-ganav. So what does Tammy say? It was
stolen.
So how do I know it was stolen? I mean, as much as I trust you and like you as a friend and neighbor, come on, it's a book.
Because all my other stuff was stolen as well.
Ah, all right. or you engineered it to make it seem like, you know, you say it was stolen, it's gone. Okay? So, minikra balabait el ha-Elohim. So, in interestingly, right, it's my favorite cup. The balabait comes close to, what's ha-Elohim here? It's not God, ha-Elohim, in this context. As the judges, correct. Elohim, shoftim, the judges, okay? Hu yelecha le-Elohim, very often, the context of Elohim in this the word Elohim in this context means the judges, the courts. Okay, if we describe by the word Elohim, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'ehu, im lo that he did not shalach yado. Shalach yado means what is shlichut yad? Not to hit. Shlichut yad means to take it. Correct. Im lo shalach yado, if he didn't himself take it, b'melechet re'ehu, the handiwork of his friend. So what does he have to swear? The Shomer has to swear that he didn't steal it. Or he didn't, not just steal it. It doesn't say Moshalach Yado.
Misplaced.
It didn't misplace. No?
Didn't take it.
Didn't take it. For what?
For his own purposes.
For his own purposes. Because what if he did take it for his own purposes? I say to you, Tammy, Sammy, where's my book? You say it was stolen. So I don't have to. I don't ask you to swear that it was just stolen. What do you have to also swear?
It wasn't stolen.
No.
She didn't use it.
Why? Because if she did use it, and then it was stolen,
then it was mine.
That's right.
Because it was what?
It was as if it was mine because I used it.
Why is it as if?
I don't understand.
Oh, why is it? As
but then where does that?
I acquired it.
Why did you acquire it?
Because I've used it.
Well, what?
Derived a benefit.
Okay, well, good. We'll talk about that. I'll call Dabar Pesha.
Without paying for it as well.
So therefore, very good.
So therefore, I'm the one who introduced it.
That's right. Everybody understand?
You're a lawyer.
Oh, she's a lawyer. Very good. This brings you back to law school, right? Very good. Since she didn't have a right... Right? Oh, can I use iPhone? Can I... To watch the iPhone is better. Book is on, right? So I'm watching your iPhone for you. So of course... Okay, you know, I start making phone calls. Oh, it's a passcode. Okay. Okay. So I start using her iPhone, right? And then it was stolen. But in reality, I can't say it was stolen from me because I, in reality, stole it from her. Why? Because I didn't borrow it. She asked me to watch it. A watchman doesn't have the right to use the possessions of a fellow man. You don't have that right. So therefore, when you say it was stolen, yes, it was stolen. It was stolen by you. So therefore, who's really responsible to pay if it was then lost?
You.
Isn't there any concept of using something that has unlimited usage, like lending a book that could be read without diminishing the value
you used
of the book?
What was the important word that you just used?
Unlimited
usage. No, lending.
Lending.
You have to ask.
Yeah.
No, something like Shomer Chinam. A Shomer Chinam cannot use
at that, all. Not no, that. If you're asked to watch it, you're asked to watch it. You're not asked to use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a.
I would have assumed we could use it.
You would assume incorrectly.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm with you.
Right. No, unless.
I would have assumed incorrectly.
What do you mean? If I ask you to watch it, what's that?
If it's something that its usefulness is not diminished by being used.
Why would I ask you to watch it?
So that it doesn't get taken by somebody else, so that you don't have it anymore afterwards.
Right. But I'm saying it's obviously something of value.
If I'm just like playing a game on the iPhone, like. Because I wish I had everything else to do, and I'm giving it back when she comes back. It's like I'm not doing anything.
But you don't have permission to use it. You only have permission to look at it, to watch it.
That's what we've just
seen. Right.
But it's not necessarily what I would have assumed.
But it's not yours. It's not your item. It's not your possession.
It didn't occur to me to use it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't occur to you to use it. Right. Right. Okay. So let's be done because we're going
to
see.
When you go on holiday and you say to an advocate, "You watch my car," you don't expect them to take it and go drive it.
What do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do to watch your car?
If the alarm goes off, turn it off.
See, that's a very interesting question. If you say, you know, like it reminds me of a TV show I once watched. I was watching, and a guy is in a cafe, right? And he says to his friend, "I'm going out for a minute. Can you watch my computer?" You know,
watch it walk out the door with somebody else.
Yeah, well, no. What level of responsibility do you take? And the answer, if you say, yes, I'll watch your computer.
Yeah, but a computer if somebody steals it, portable.
100%. No, like you're in the cafe. The guy goes to park his car to pay the meter or whatever. So you're responsible.
Yeah.
You accept responsibility to watch that computer until he comes back. And if anything happens to it. You know, like it's just an interesting question. Okay, I'll call the... We have to read the whole section in order to...
Can I get to the bottom of what you just said, the answer?
What?
If anything happens to it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll call Devar... We're going to make a chart, because you should know this chart. It's an important chart. I'll call Devar Pesha, Al-Shor, Al-Chamor, Al-Seh, Al-Salma, Kol Aveda, Asher Yomar, Ki Huzeh. It's a very interesting language. On every Devar Pesha. What's Pesha?
Crime.
No, Pesha.
Trespass.
On every matter of trespass... Good, now translate that into English. What does that mean?
Taking something which doesn't belong to you.
What is the root of the word pesha? From? What do you have? Yeah, pesha, trespass. But that doesn't mean anything to us. I'll call dvar pesha means you sin. What's that?
Liability.
It comes from the word, this is a very classic word in Hilchot Nezikim, shia, poshea. What is a poshea?
Somebody who somebody who's a sinner.
No, not in this context.
A trespasser.
No, you know? Poshea, very important word, poshea, negligent. I'll call dvar pesha, matter of negligence. Okay? That's why we call someone who sins a poshea. There's poshea, avon, chet.
But the whole thing about negligence is my intention.
What do you mean?
If you do something deliberately, you do something.
Well, here we're talking about level, you're a shomer. You accepted responsibility. So then the question becomes, what level of responsibility did you accept? I say, could you watch my car? Okay, what do I expect you to do? So now do I expect you now to go hire a watchman to come make sure that it's not stolen 24 hours a day?
Well,
do I expect you to put it in my garage?
You need to give specific
terms. Said, could you watch my car?
So then the person who's watching has the obligation to exactly identify what that term, watch, means.
Uh-huh. So that's what I'm saying. So the Torah gives broad guidelines. Mm. The Torah gives specific guidelines. So here, I'll call Dvar, the Torah's telling you, I'll call Dvar Pesha, okay, on every matter of Pesha. We're going to see what that is, okay? One second. I'll sure, look at Rashi says, I'll call Dvar Pesha. Shimsa shakran b'shivu ato. If he lied. I'll sure, I'll come, he lied about it in his shivu'ah. Shia'idu edim shehu atzmo ganvo. The witnesses say that he himself stole it. Okay? V'yashiu Elohim api edim. And the edim say that he himself, they make him into someone who is wicked. So let's go back to the pasuk. Al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al sama, al kol aveda. Anything that's lost. Asher yomar ki hu zeh, that he says a ki hu zeh. You ever heard that term? A ki hu zeh. What's a ki hu zeh?
He's the
one. Anything. That's an Israeli term. That's a Hebrew term. A ki hu zeh. Ad ha'elohim yavod dvar shnehem. Okay. Ad ha'elohim yavod dvar shnehem. They shall come to the Elohim. Elohim here means judges. Asher yashiun Elohim. Yeshalem Shnayim the Re'ehu. Whoever is the evil one, the wicked one, he has to pay double. Meaning, let's just translate this colloquially. They come to the judges, and it turns out that the judges make him swear. He has to swear. Okay? And they come to the judges, and since he has to swear, and it turns out that he's lying. Because now he swears, I didn't touch the iPhone, it was stolen from me. And then the judges come along, and then two witnesses come along and say, that's funny, we saw you with the iPhone yesterday. It's in your back pocket. Right there it is. You know? Okay. So then the Torah says, he has to pay. What's interesting is, look, the Rashi, it's a very interesting Rashi about Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. Okay, look at Rashi on Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. Rashi says, the Fib Shuto, you see where I am? The Fib Shuto, Asher Yomar Ha'ed Ki Hu Zeh. The witnesses will say, this is it, Shenishbata Alav Harehu Etzecha. That thing that you swore, you still have it. Okay, I'm going to skip a couple of lines. And he says, the rabbis, they derived, halachically, ki hu zeh, what's a ki hu zeh? Lelamed, she'en mechayvin oto shvua, ela imken hode b'miksat. Lomar, kach v'kach ani chayav, v'hamotar nignavi meni. There's a rule in money. If I say, Tammy, you owe me $100. And Tammy says, I don't owe anything. So then, according to Torah law, you're not chayav shvuah. You know, you can't make me swear in court. And the only time I can make you swear in court is when it's called a modeh b'miksat. Tammy says, I owe 50. So therefore, the rabbis say, from this we learn that only a modeh b'miksat is chayav shvuah. Ramban says, this is not true. Ramban says, there's something, there's an additional kind of shvuah called a shvuat shomrim. If I ask you to watch something and you say you don't owe me, I can make you swear in court that you didn't lose it, that you weren't negligent, that it wasn't your fault. Okay. See, I'm losing you, so we're going to go on. Okay, so that's the Shomer A. Am I? Okay. Shomer A. All right, let's go back for a second, because the text is important. Chaf Bet, I want to read away on Chaf Bet Vav, because I want it to be clear. Okay, Chaf Bet Vav. Read it again, because then we're going to go back. Ki yitain ish al re'ehu kesef o kevim nishmoa, v'guna mi beit ha'ish, im yimasei hagana v'shalem shnayim. If money or items are stolen and the thief is found, the thief pays twice. Who does not pay in this case?
The shomer.
Good. Now let's skip to Tet. And we don't know which kind of shomer is talking about. The Torah doesn't tell us. Pasuk Tet. Ki ten ish el re'ehu chamor o shor o seh b'chol behema lishmor. Now let's say I gave you an animal or a donkey to watch. Umet, what? Umet, onishbar, Onishba. He dies or he's broken down. Onishba. Nishba is?
Driven away.
Nishba? Captured.
Taken.
Ein ro'eh. Nobody knows. Shvuat Hashem tihiyah ben shneihem. Im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'ehu. Okay? As an oath must be taken between them. Im lo shalach yado. That he did not use it, take it. V'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. Then he doesn't have to pay. V'im ganov yiganev me'imo. Yishalem leba'alav. Okay, so we have a problem. What's our problem?
If you didn't use it.
What's that? What's that? Let's go one on one. Mimi, what's the problem?
Mimi thinks of the problem that how come if it's stolen, then the person who's watching it has to pay, and if it dies, then it doesn't have to pay.
Okay.
It seems more ashlanut. If the cow dies, then if it's stolen, because if it's stolen, means the thieves came at night, and probably the guy also lost one of his cows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it seems to be worse if you let this cow die.
If I let it die?
If somehow it died under your care.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, to die at some point, meaning there's no evidence of his bad actions of care.
Leading it to die.
There's a textual problem. There's a textual problem that needs to be solved. Maybe you already see the resolution, but in order to understand, there's something wrong with the text. Anybody see there's something? There's a challenge with the text that we have to find a solution for.
Well, the owner doesn't have it.
I set you up. I compare the two sections. Okay, compare the two sections. The one that I showed you on Pasuk Vav and on Pasuk Tet. It's a simple contradiction that has to be resolved.
There were not witnesses.
What, about the law? Come on, use your legal mind. What's the law? Rule one.
And one he has to take an oath, and the other he doesn't. Both of them
have to take an oath.
Where's the first oath?
The Asher Yo'ad HaElohim Yabod Dvar Shnehem, right? He has to take 1 second. He has to come to God. Both of them have to swear. It's a very simple contradiction. Maybe this is the legal stuff. Yes?
And in the first one,
if the ganav is found,
the
ganav
pays twice.
Then what? Who pays?
The ganav.
And what if the ganav is not found?
Nothing.
He doesn't pay. And the second one?
The guy has to pay.
That's a very simple contradiction. Everybody
the
with me?
Hair.
Right. In the first one, the language is vague, which is, by the way, why it's important to study the text. Right? In the first case, the guy doesn't pay. The shomer doesn't pay if it's stolen. Tammy, will you watch my iPhone? Right? Sure, it was stolen. If we find out it was really stolen, what can you do? Right? She's not responsible. In the second case, right? So for some reason, I give you something, you agree to watch it, and you do have to pay. So obviously, what's the question? The question is, what's the difference? What's the answer?
Because the first one is talking about things and money, and the second one is talking about animals.
Very good. Okay, that's one possible answer. It's clear.
It's a possible livelihood.
Very good. Okay, the first, what would be the difference? Why would you have to pay? Why would I care as a shomer whether it's alive or not alive? You're saying since it's alive, I take more responsibility for it? Can you watch my Theodore, right? My dog.
Of course, yeah.
Would you say it's dogs? Would you say it's only... It says 1 second. Sure, kol behema. Is that an example, or it's only meaning that your inclination is correct, absolutely correct?
Because in those days that was like livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
For people. It was like how they lived. Like if you didn't have cow, you didn't have milk.
Correct.
You didn't have your livelihood.
So you didn't have your plow. You didn't have anything.
If it disappeared, then how are you gonna?
But why is that the shomer's problem? You asked him to watch something for you. Why is that his problem? I understand what you're saying, and your inclination is absolutely correct. And so we're going to look at the Ramban. And the Ramban says the following. I'm the Ramban on Pasuk Vav. It just gives general rules. You don't have the Ramban. You do. Okay. The Ramban says, Ki yiten ish areehu kesef o kelim nishmor. Ramban says, Parsha zo, Pasuk Vav, ne'emra b'shomer chinam. Shomer chinam, someone who agrees to watch for free. Just doing a favor. Ulefikach patarbo et hagneva. And for that reason, he is exempt from stealing. Okay? Kefi Kabbalat Rabotenu. Much of this is according to Chazal, the Kabbalah, meaning Kabbalah not Kabbalah, but based on Mesorah. V'niskar stam bekatuv. It says, doesn't tell you, it's interesting. The Torah doesn't say, for a shomer chinam, X. It just says, a person accepts to be a shomer, why? Mivnei shederech shomer kesef o kelim l'shomer mechinam. Because it's not a big deal to watch kesef or kelim. It's money, it's stuff, it's my iPhone. You stick the iPhone on the shelf, and you go to sleep. You don't have to do anything. Okay? V'haparsha hashnia, you see where I am? Mm-hmm. The second context, second to the story, psukim tet to yudbet, shebishomer sachar, that's a shomer sachar. What's a shomer sachar?
Someone paid.
Paid watchman. Why? Hiskira chamor oshor oseh. That's what you were trying to say, Liz. Because in that case, it mentions the chamor, the animals. Why? V'chol behemot, v'derech habehemot, l'titam biyad ro'im lishmor. You know, you don't just put the cow on the shelf. You know, it requires
more care.
More care. It requires intervention. Usually, when you're going away and you want somebody to watch your animal, your dog, what do you do with it?
You want it to have food.
Well, what do most people do with their animal? Sometimes they give it to friends, but...
Put it in a doggy hotel.
That's right. You put it in a doggy hotel. And
that's what we do.
What? And? You pay. Okay, so now take your sheet.
And he gets fed, and he gets walked.
Take your sheet. Everybody take your sheet. Okay?
It's all the same to the guy who lost his cow, if it was stolen or if it died. But in one case, he gets restitution, and in the other, he doesn't. He's anyway lost his livelihood. Meaning today, if a shomer of the sachar, whether it gets stolen or lost or broken, he has insurance for all those things.
The shomer has insurance?
I'm saying the doggy hotel.
Yeah.
He has insurance.
Why does he have insurance?
Because he has to give restitution to the owner if
Correct.
Something happens, no matter what that is, whether it's stolen or whether it's broken.
Hold on. We're going to you, okay? On the on the right hand side, now we have two kinds of shomrim. You're going to make a chart. So start with, okay? You're going to make a chart. Start with this. The reason I decided to do this is really basic, important.
I want to know what I should have been, though.
I think this is basic. If you already know this stuff, I'm sorry. But this is really basic, important Jewish literacy information, especially for Jewish mothers whose sons they're going to learn this in third and fourth and fifth grade. It's very important. And we don't teach our girls this stuff. So it's valuable to know, to be aware of this literacy. Unless you learned it. I'm getting a look. Did you learn this? You learn Mishnah, Baba Batsiya? Do they teach them? They don't. Okay? And so I just think I decided to do it because otherwise... Okay, first kind of shomer you have. What's the first shomer? Shomer chinam. Very good. Shomer chinam. Okay? And you'll make a line. The next type of shomer you have?
Shomer
sachar. Shomer sachar. Under the shomer chinam, you're going to have a shomer sachar. Shomer Chinam is a free watchman, and the Shomer Sachar under him is not a free watchman. Okay, on our columns, those are our first two rows. And our columns, okay, the first type of, first column you have, which doesn't appear because it's obvious in the Torah, is what's called Pshia. Pshia is negligence. Okay? Basic rule is, I give Tammy, right, my iPhone to watch as a free watchman. So how could she be negligent? She puts it in her dog's doggy house and says, Theodore, watch this for me. Okay, would we? And then what happens? Lo and behold, she comes back and says, I don't know what happened. The dog chewed it up. You know what I'm saying? How could that possibly? I didn't do anything. The dog did it. What can you do? Okay? Pshia is chayav. If you're negligent, if you're asked to watch something.
Both of them.
Everyone. Even the shomer chinam. That's your case?
I don't know. I took from the health food store things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
There was glass inside it. It was on my table. I have three active boys.
Yes.
They took the glass and dropped it on the floor.
There's a shock.
That's
right.
Negligent?
I would say so. In your house, I've been there. Yeah.
It was in the middle of the table.
Your boys are rambunctious.
Yeah, what? You didn't know there was glass.
Exactly.
No one told me.
No one told me. Okay, but they don't
It was
have
a package. It was
a package.
Package.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. Okay.
No, but you would have
thought it was it. Okay. The next up is called, the next com you're going to have is called Gneva. Okay? Gneva, theft. Now, you tell me, Shomer Chinam, Gneva?
Nafkaya.
Patur. Correct. That's what we saw. Shomer Chinam is Patur from Gneva?
Yeah.
And the Shomer Sachar is Chayav. Very good.
The only time he could maybe be Chayav in the Geneva if he was negligent, if he didn't lock his door.
Ah, very good. Very good. But that's, so then, I mean, we're learning Chumash. We're learning basic categories. You want to now you're asking much deeper questions. Where is the line? And this is what Gemara is all about. Where is the line between Pshia and Gneva? Where is the line between Gneva? By the way, it's not just Gneva. Gneva and let's say Aveda. Aveda also.
Lost.
It's lost.
There was an example of Mishnah.
Aveda is much closer to Pshia than Gneva. Why? Because for me to lose it, you know what I'm saying? If I lost an animal. Yeah.
That would be reckless.
It might be reckless, it might not. If the animal might have wandered off on its own that I couldn't have prevented. You know what I'm saying? Let's say the animal, I penned it in, and I come back the next day, and it's gone. So what's the obvious question? Well, did you lock the door? Did you not lock the door? You know what I'm saying? Let's say some kid came along, and I asked you to watch my car. Some kid came along and stuck a twig, in the door lock thing, so now the key doesn't work. That happened to me this week. Okay, what?
No.
Yeah, why? Like, really? And the reason I know this is because when I came to open my door, there was a little twig stuck in it. You know what I'm saying? So now I gotta, whatever. I gotta figure out how to deal with this. But okay, that's life. What are you gonna do? That's, small cup of rot. Okay, who's responsible? Are you the shomer responsible for that?
Yeah.
Somebody damaged it.
No, that's not. That you couldn't prevent. What are you supposed to stand outside and watch it?
Correct.
It depends on the terms.
It depends on the terms. Okay.
It's not reasonable to expect someone to that's unreasonable.
What's reasonable will be determined
now,
by the terms of your watch.
Now look at the column and look at the Chumash and tell me what's the next column. After Gneva and Aveda, what's the next column? There's another column. In the Chumash. The Torah outlined it. Okay? Nishbar or Nishbar en ro'eh. Right? He gave the animal. The animal died. So now, before you write it down, we have to see it's a category. What does it mean, the animal? I gave you my...
Loss.
Not loss, but what kind of loss? It's not stolen.
And...
Yeah. No, you didn't do it. What do you mean
unintentional?
Uncontrolled. It's out of your hands.
Out of your hands. Unpreventable loss. Act of God. Very good. That's called... Onus. What does onus mean? Onus means unpreventable loss. Unavoidable. Onus. When you're saying onus, I couldn't do anything about it.
Is that a Hebrew word?
Onus. Yeah. Aleph Vav Nun Samet. Okay.
Yeah, the onus is on you.
Not O-N-U-S. Onus.
But it seems like...
Right. Why is it called rape? Rape is called onus. Why is it called rape? She's forced. Out of your control.
Out of your control.
Correct.
Out of your control, yeah.
The onus is the rapist. Right, he is the one who's... Okay.
Honest. Aleph.
Okay. Aleph, Vav, Nun, Samech. Look at Rashi on Yud Bet. He uses this term. You'll see it. One second. Rashi on Ki Yitin on Tet. Okay. Rashi Kiten Isharehu, Parsha Rishona Ne'emra B'Shomer Chinam. See, Rashi says the same thing as the Ramban. The first Parsha is Shomer Chinam. The Fikach Partarbo Et Hakneva. But I just wanted to point out to you is, Rashi, what's Rashi doing? He's doing the same thing we did. We read the Chumash and says, one second, I just see two laws, two seemingly identical laws. In one case, he's Patur, and in another case, he's not. So how do I solve this problem? Very easy. It must be talking about two different types of categories of law. The obvious question we have to ask is, why didn't the Torah just say, Shomer Chinam Chayav, Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam Patur, it doesn't say that. Why does it have to be so vague? I don't know, I can't give you a good answer to that.
There's also, again, a thin line between Shia and
to allow for cases that don't fall within the...
Could be, or to give the rabbis leeway to derive. Vikach Patar Bo Et HaGneva. Right, in the first case, the Gneva is exempt. Moshe Katuv, as it says, Viguna mi beit ha'ish, and is stolen from his house. Im lo yimatzei ha-ganav, if he's not found, v'nikrav ha-baal ha-bayit l'shvua. Then the watchman approaches and takes an oath. La marita, so you learn from this, shepoter atzmo b'shvua zo. Right, that the watchman is exempt, meaning shomer chinam, he claims it was stolen. We wrote in our chart, patur, but he's only patur if he does what? It's a swear. It's a swear that it was stolen. Okay, very good. But that's kind of a side detail in order to make sure that it was actually stolen. Uparshazo Omer Amura B'Shomer Sachar. This parasha is talking about a Shomer Sachar. The Fikach Eino Patur Im Nigneva. He's not exempt if it was stolen. Kamoshe Katuv, as it says, Im Ganov Yuganav Me'imo Yeshalem. Aval Al Ha'ones. But on Ones, Kimo Meit Me'atzmo, it dies. Onishbar, Onishba Bechazaka. Let's Ayide Listim, right? You know, these thieves come in, they put guns to your face and say, give me the animal. Are you supposed to, like, you know, risk your life for this animal? No, that's unavoidable. That's Ones. Okay? And those things, you are Patur. Ones. So, Shomer Chinam, what would you say, Ones? Patur. Good. Shomer Sachar? Patur. Very good. Mm-hmm. Next.
Seems very equitable.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems very reasonable. Yud Bet. And once again, Im Tarof Yitaref, Yivi'ehu Aid, Hatrefa Lo Yishalem. Similarly, Tarof Yitaref, the animal is mauled by a vicious tiger. Okay? The animal is mauled, you should bring witnesses, and Lo Yishalem.
Patur.
Patur.
Yeah, but what if it was mauled because he didn't have a good fence?
What's that called?
Negligence.
What if he was mauled and there are no witnesses?
What do you mean, the animal's gone?
The witness would come and say that you had a good fence.
The animal's gone?
No, meaning the fact that he's mauled is the witness. That is the aid. You don't need a witness to say, oh, I saw the tiger come and maul him up.
Like, what do you need a witness for? You need a that it was
the
mauled.
The Torah says he must bring a witness.
Well, if it's gone. Let's say the, thing is... Wait, one second. The animal's gone. The sheep is gone. Where's the sheep?
The wolf got it.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's exactly the point. You have to prove the wolf got it. And if you can't prove the wolf got it, it's gone. It's stolen. It's lost. Shomer Sachar is... obligated on loss. On regular loss, he's obligated. Why is he obligated on loss? Why is he? He's not negligent. He's not obligated on. He wasn't negligent. It's loss. Why is he obligated on loss?
Because he didn't look after
it. As opposed to the Shomer Chinam,
who wasn't paid.
What's the difference between he is obligated on loss because he's paid. That's his job. You paid him. You paid the kennel to watch the dog. He's not doing you a favor. So that's what he accepts that responsibility when he takes the money in order to watch the dog or the cow or whatever it is you want. Okay? Next. V'chi yish'al im ish me'im rehehu. Now this is our next category of watchmen. Remember, this is a watchman. What's it called? V'chi yish'al. What does that mean?
Borrow.
This is much more relevant to us. If a person, that's our third category, sho'el. This always happens.
Okay. Only when you borrow.
You can even start right now. Pshia on a shoel?
Definitely.
Chayav, yeah, without a doubt. Okay. V'chi yish'al ish me'im re'ehu. V'nishbar omet ba'alav. Ein imo. Nishbar omet. Nishbar omet. It breaks down and dies. Well, remember, nishbar omet breaks down and dies. What do we call that?
Ones.
Ba'alav ein imo. We're going to talk about that in a second. Ba'alav ein imo. The owner is not with him. Shalem yishalem.
You okay?
So ones is for shoel. Chaya. What about gneiva and aveda? What about gneiva and aveda? Gneiva and aveda, stolen. What do you think? Stolen or lost? Chaya. Correct. See our nice little chart, right? You see a. You know what I'm saying? You see like a hierarchy.
The story is never agreed to watch anybody's stuff.
No, God shall tell him. Why not?
So if you borrow something and it breaks, you're always chayav.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right.
You took responsibility. Yeah.
I don't understand then why the one who...
There's one exemption, by the way. What?
It should be kal v'chomer. The one who gets paid for it should be chayav, even if it's honest.
What do you mean? Why?
Honest,
no.
It's unavoidable.
The shoel, so why the shoel?
Let's look at Rashi for a second. Let's just finish this second. The pasuk Yud Dalid. Im ba'alav imo lo yishalem. This is a halacha, Torah, halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. There's something called shmira b'ba'alim. If the person you borrowed it from is working with you, let's say I borrow your drill and you come to help me with the drill, I'm patur. It's halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's challenging to explain, but that's the law. It's called Shmira B'Ba'alim, and you're exempt.
Because you assume that if you're using the shrill incorrectly, the person who owns it is going to say, hey, that's not how you do it. Or if the drill starts smoking...
Your example it would be true if not for the following Rashi. Rashi says, Bein shehu ba'ota melacha, bein shehu ba'melacha acheret. I could hire you to go pick weeds in my garden while I'm drilling. It's still called Shmirah Baba'alim, and it's still Patur. That's why I say it's like, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in a sense, okay?
The Ba'alim means that the guy is there, present.
What?
What the Halacha is saying means that the guy is present with you?
Yes, he is. No, he's working for you.
Oh, he's employee.
Shmirah Baba'alim, that's what it's called. Okay, and let's just finish the Pasuk. Im Sakhiru Ba Bischaro. Look at Rashi, if it's Sakhir, okay. What's the Sakhir? This is the fourth category.
Salaried.
No, it's the fourth category of Shemirah, and we're not going to fill it in, actually. Because the we could fill it in. It should be the third category, but we filled it in already. Called, what's it, the fourth, the Sakhir. Final category? Socher. What is a Socher? You don't borrow the iPhone.
You
rent it. Okay? Don't fill it in. You know, Pshiyah's Chayev, obviously. Okay? But, Rashi says, it's a machloket. Is the renter like a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar? So everybody knows it's chayev on pshia, okay? But it's a machloket, and he's patur on ones. He's patur on ones. But whether he's like, but it's a machloket, whether he's chayev on gneva and aveda. It's a machloket, just so you know. So those are the four types of shomim. You have your shomer chinam, your free watchman. You have your shomer sachar. You have your shoel. And you have your socher. Now, why is the shoel obligated in everything? So the Gemara is defining. I just have to find it in Rashi.
It's derived of being a
fact. Very good. One second. Mm-hmm. Let me just see. I have to find the exact language of Rashi. Mm-hmm. Look at pasuk Yud Gimel. One second. Here we are. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay. Im Sachirhu. Rashi on Im Sachirhu. Everybody see it on Im Sachir? Im Hashur Eino Sha'ul Ela Sachur. If the ox is not borrowed but rented, Ba Bischaro Liyada Sachir Hazeh Belo B'Sheila. So it came to him not through renting and not borrowing. Ve'ein Kol Hana'a Shelo. He doesn't get all of the benefit. Sharei Ayidei Scharo Nishtamesh. He's paying to use it. Ve'ein Lo Mishpat Sho'el Litchayev Ba'onsim. Okay, why is an onus? Why is a shoel? Why, if I borrow something, I'm obligated, even if lightning came and struck this thing and destroyed it?
Because you derive some benefit.
You know, you derive, not that you derive some benefit, the Talmud says, kol hana'a shelo. You derived all the benefit from it. I mean, you let me, not watch it, you let me use it, and what do I have to pay you for it? Nothing. I'm borrowing. What's borrowing? Borrowing is... I'm watching it for free. Not just watching it for free.
I'm using it for free.
Yeah. Right. Since you use it for free, you're responsible totally for everything. Okay? As opposed to if I rent it, once I'm renting it,
use.
I'm paying for something. What am I paying for?
For use.
I'm paying for its use. So that payment gets me out of acts of God.
Right. So here's a question.
Everybody understand?
Are going to switch cars.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Ah.
I'm going
to say someone's
going to give me their car and they're
going to
use our car.
Good.
Is it a shoel or is it a
sechir? What do you think?
That's a tax question.
What do you think? I think the answer is obvious.
I don't really?
Yeah, sure. You're clearly a sochir. Yeah, why?
You
didn't switch cars. You didn't switch cars. There's a deductible, there's a copay, there's a whatever, right? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly happened to us when we made our... Yeah. We did a car swap, remember this? Mm-hmm. We went to Chafetz Chaim and our car...
I remember it was broken into.
Got broken into and it was...
Damaged.
Really damaged. Mm-hmm. And we were responsible... I mean, yeah.
No insurance, that's okay.
Wow.
You were responsible for the copay. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're thinking about it. You're not borrowing it. You are paying... To use that car with the use of your car.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Right.
It's, but it's pay. That's a pay. Pay doesn't have to be money. Pay is value.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you're... Now you understand. This is what Gemara is for. This is what Halacha is for. This is what Psak is for. Right? You have general categories. But of course, life isn't general categories. The Torah gives you broad outlines. Okay, but life isn't like that. Life is like what happens if I did this, and what happens if I did that, and really, what is real negligence? And you know, what if they locked the door of the car? What if they didn't lock the door of the car? What if they parked it in the middle of the city, in the middle of the night, in a very dangerous place? You know, that's what halacha is all about. But in general, it's important to have this literacy to understand the four kinds of guards. Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam gets nothing. So therefore, he's almost never responsible. The only time he's responsible is when he's responsible, right, when he caused the damage. Shomer Sachar and Socher, right? The Shomer Sachar, on the one hand, he's just watching it, he can't use it, but he's being paid. So since he's getting a benefit, he has added responsibility. The Socher, on the other hand, he's able to use it, but he's paying for the use. So he doesn't get all the benefits, so similarly, it's a machloket. And finally, the shoel, when you borrow something, you get everything.
Stolen.
What?
Yours was stolen.
Yeah.
Thief.
It wasn't stolen, it was broken into. Right.
They stole the gas, and they stole the gas. Yes. But the car was stolen. They
didn't
take
the car. Stolen means
it. Well, but it was in the middle of the day, wasn't it? It was covered high in the middle of the day.
But Rashi's saying it's a machloket.
There were people walking in all the time. It's so weird.
But Rashi's saying it's a machloket with regard to theft.
Yes. With regard to socher, it's a machloket. Whether he is a socher like a shomer chinam, or is he like a shomer sachar. So some say patur, some say chayav. It's a machloket. Okay? Yeah. Question?
No, I'm just thinking of all kinds of situations.
Yeah, that are in between.
Right.
What do you mean?
Also, just
when you borrow things, so can I borrow? Well, first, I want to talk about a cup of sugar. Because when you say, "Can I borrow a cup of sugar?" You're not borrowing. You say, "Can I have a cup of sugar for which I will pay you back?" Yeah. Or I won't, because.
But it also depends if that.
But if I borrow your lawnmower, can I borrow your lawnmower?
What if your lawnmower has a pre-existing condition?
Ah, very good. There's one example. There's one exemption in Sho'eh. Very good. There's one exemption in She'elah which you're patur from. And that exemption is Meitah. It's called Meitah Machmat Melacha.
Pre-existing condition.
No. Yeah. If it breaks down in its normal use.
Right. Because if it's not doing anything.
Right. You were using it in its normal way and he gave it to you to use, that you're not responsible for.
Right.
Okay? If it's stolen, if lightning strikes, you are responsible.
But if it's
died, why you're doing the while doing the plowing, right?
Lightning strikes
is onus. Onus for chayavan. For shoel.
So not right.
Why is it not right?
Because
it
could have happened to the other guy also. It's like out of your control.
That's exactly the point. But you borrowed it. He gave. What does he get for giving it to you?
Nothing.
So the very least, you owe him for having the benefit of using his car for nothing is. You accept responsibility.
It's like you become the owner at that moment.
In a sense, right. You have to give him back a car.
The first owner
not really. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to give him back a car.
What happened is you've got consideration for the usage.
Correct. Thanks, that's a legal term. Meaning you lent the you borrow the car.
When you have a car.
So she says, use the car, great, but do me a favor, just do one thing.
Just look
give me back my car. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you come back and say, what can you do? You know, there was an earthquake and it got swallowed in the ground. I'm sorry that happened, but it didn't happen to me. Mm-hmm. It happened to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's life. Next-door neighbors, and if the car would have been parked in your driveway, it would have still gotten swallowed.
But you borrowed it. That didn't. You borrowed it. It's for all intents and purposes, for the time in which you are in possession of that car,
it's your
car. You owe me back a car. Let's say you rented it. You know, the rental agency doesn't care. He said, you owe us back a car. You could come with all the stories in the world.
Actually, that's not really true.
Really?
Yeah.
Acts of God, you're not responsible for?
No.
You're not responsible for?
In Israel, by the way, you're not responsible by law for acts of terrorism. That I've heard. I know for a fact.
How much more so for an act of God?
Yeah. No, but you are ours. I think you're responsible for acts of God. That's why you have insurance. Yeah. If you take the car and say, I don't want any insurance.
Insured. The rental company is insured.
No, they're going to come back to you.
No, they don't.
What do you mean? Yeah. For a stolen car?
No. We had a car stolen.
And you didn't take insurance?
No. The rental company was insured. The rental company
covered. Again, somebody paid for insurance. Let's say you go and rent a car and you decline all insurance. You say, no, 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 no. Right? You were insured. If you said no, 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 and then you come and it was stolen, they'll say, very nice, we're going to charge the $30,000 to your credit card. You know what I'm saying? That's you accept responsibility. That's why you take insurance. Yeah, right. It all depends on what kind of car you're in. Okay, so I'm sorry if this was confusing and complicated, because it is confusing and complicated. As you see, this chart is Aleph Bet. This is like Mishnah, ABC Mishnah when you're in the Baba Metzia. And it's relevant to know. It's very important to be aware of. What? What's that?
Once it happened to us that we borrowed a friend's car, and in the normal course of driving, it stopped.
Ah.
Broke down, but it turned out that the motor had gone.
Oof. Yeah, you're not responsible for him for a motor. That's exactly the point.
Why?
Because that's what's called Meta Machmat. That's Meta Machmat Melacha. Meta Machmat Melacha.
You're using it in the normal course of
events. Yeah, that's the normal course of events.
Why isn't she owned?
Okay.
You could have another call over here.
Yeah, you could have another call. Meta Machmat Melacha. Correct. Correct. Well, no.
No, it would be Chaya for the Shomer.
Right. Chaya for the Shomer Chinam, Chaya for the Shomer Sachar. Why?
Because
Shomer Sachar, the kennel owner, doesn't have a right to use your cow or your dog. He doesn't have a right to use it. Okay, we're going to end off. Remember they said there's a law called Shmira Beba'alim. Shmira Beba'alim means if the owner is around, right, then you're not responsible. So there's an Or HaChaim, a beautiful Or HaChaim, on this concept of Shmira Beba'alim. So he says the following.
Even if you're hiring the person?
Yeah.
The handyman in your house?
And you're using his item?
No. Just doing work.
No. Shmir Babalim is only if
you using his
stuff? I'm using his stuff and he's also working for me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Got it.
And it's a complicated
it's
a complicated involved law. Okay.
It's not for Poalim.
What do you mean?
Employees.
Yeah, you know, he's working for you.
It's the same chart?
What do you mean?
It's another category.
There's another category.
Would be Shomer Sachar?
What do you mean?
No.
No. Shomer Sachar only refers to the item.
Only refers to a watcher.
A watcher.
Not an employee.
Not an employee, a watcher. Okay. So the Or HaChaim says the following. He says, I have a question. He says, I wonder, Haim nishpeta bedin zeh le'olam haba? Can I claim Shmira Babalim in the world to come? Meaning, he says, why? Kishiyavo bal hapikadon. When the owner of the item that was lent in question will come and claim it from us. He gave each of us, the owner, a soul to guard. Okay? And now when 120 years comes along, he's going to come back to us and say, what did you do? Like, I gave you this unbelievably pristine, pure nefesh. And now you're giving it back to me and it's got some nicks and dents in it. And someone has to pay. So what are we going to do? You're going to say, well, God, that would be true if not for the convenient law of Shmira Beba'alim. Because, as I've been taught since grade one, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Right? So therefore, when you lent me the item, you were there with me all the time.
Watching me ruin it.
So therefore, I'm exempt. So
and first, Hashem is exempt.
Therefore,
liable.
I'm not liable. You lose, not me. Right? I walk away scot free. That's what he says. So first of all, just Jewish chutzpah, right? Exactly. So therefore, he says something very interesting. That just the perspective I thought was a beautiful idea. Now we are shomrim in our nefesh. We are given a responsibility. We are given this pikadon. This item to guard, and we're responsible to take care of it. I would like to add, as a total aside, I wrote a blog post about a week ago or 2 weeks ago about taking care of our bodies.
Absolutely.
I think this is absolutely true with regard to our, he says, nefesh, not just nishama, not just spiritually. You're given we are given a life, and we have to guard it. You have to take care of it. You have to cherish it. Not just spiritually, but physically as well. And I think that's an important lesson as well. But the notion that... What?
He brings it on this second?
Yeah, right here, on Yud Dalet. The notion that, but just the idea, the perspective of the idea that our life is an item that God gives us to watch and guard. You know what I'm saying? So what are we? Are we a Shomer Chinam? Do we get it for nothing? Do we get it? Are we a Shomer Sachar? Are we paid? Are we renting? We're paying? What are we paying? What do you pay in order to...
Our driving the Harrier.
You're borrowing, right? Yeah. That's very interesting.
But you're also paying with blood, sweat, and tears.
Which he gave you. Which he gave you. It's a very beautiful perspective, that you are given this thing to watch, and what are you doing with it? Are you guarding it? Are you improving it? Are you taking care of it? Are you cherishing it? That's a beautiful idea. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with the question of Shmira Abba Ba'ali? So he says, I'll give you two answers. Answer number one, he says, is I can make a condition, if I can stipulate at the beginning, let's say, like Tammy says, it all depends on the terms of the deal. Let's say I say, Tammy, I'd like to borrow your iPhone, but I don't want to be responsible under any circumstances whatsoever. Would you mind lending it to me? So Tammy would be foolish to say yes. But if she did, I can make that stipulation. I mean, the Torah gives general rules. But you can stipulate anything you want in any deal. Because in issues of money and commerce.
It just might not be a deal.
What? It might not be a deal, but you can stipulate whatever you want. She could say, you know, I want you to be a shomer. I want you to be a shomer sachar, right, to pay. But I want you to accept responsibility for onus.
And I'll only pay you if I get my iPhone back. Right.
Correct.
It was given to
you. The bag fell. Okay. Yeah. Nothing. The baby's fine. Okay. I'm not responsible for that, by the way. So he says, it's true that God is the Shomer Ba'alim. That's possibly. But part of the deal is, even though he's around, you're still responsible. That's a stipulation.
It's like when you that's give one your answer. Child to somebody to look after for the morning, your baby.
Yeah.
And if something happens to your baby while you're out.
I don't think people are of the... No, they're not. People are not items.
But you've just used the people.
When you give... I don't.
I
think babysitting is not... This is not babysitting. This is property. We're not talking about
that's
children.
Real life, that's if your child goes to preschool, and the preschool teacher puts
that's
them on
why
the
you sign indemnities.
With their gloves, which is kind of negligence, and they fall and they break their arm, who's responsible?
Yeah. Puts them on... Is the teacher responsible?
Yeah, the teacher took this them outside why, with their gloves on and put them on they went on the monkey bars.
I don't
which
know.
They were taking them to
see,
the
your place. Negligence is another person's. You know, kids are kids and they play and kids are injured.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It all depends on a person's, on your perspective.
Aren't
on,
injuries
you know,
and death are totally different?
Yes, they are category. Totally different category. We're not. I want to clarify. We're not talking about, we're talking about shmira of property, okay? And it's also very personal, and everybody, you know, brings their emotions, especially when it comes to your children. So I'm not talking about childcare. We're talking about the pikadon that Hashem gives us as our life. So answer number one is, God can stipulate whatever He wants in the deal, and we accept it. That's answer number one. He says answer number two is a very interesting answer. You don't have a choice.
Have no choice.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
There's an element of duress.
Of course there's an element of duress. What do you mean? In being born there's an element of duress.
Yeah.
Right. The Gemara says that. The Gemara has a very complicated Gemara about, is it better to have been born or not to be born?
What I'm saying is you can't make stipulations.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
If there's an element of duress.
That's a stipulation. That's the deal. That is the deal. Issue number two, he says, Yesh lecha ladad, I want to tell you, Shoftei Eretz lo yishbetu kol achiyuvim ela me'at meharbeh. There's law down here in the world, and there's law above. There's what's called Dine Adam and Dine Shamayim. And the fact that you might be patur in Dine Adam doesn't mean there isn't spiritual responsibility in Dine Shamayim. So he says, even though it might be true, and this is, by the way, absolutely correct, there are times when the court can't get you, but you have obligation. Okay. You have responsibility. You have spiritual responsibility. There's times when the Gemara itself says, Patur b'dinei Adam, v'chaya b'dinei Shamayim. So he says, true, in this world, you could come to God and say, you know, God, you were with me all the time. It's your problem. He says, but in the next world, it's not so simple. And he actually says, Yesh od Eloha milin, kvi pnimiyut ha-Torah. There's an internal Torah. Right? There's a lot to say about this, he says. The Enkan Mekoman. This is not the place for it. But I understand, you're getting up there and claiming Shmira Bebalim. God's going to say, that might be nice down there. But up here, that's not going to work. There's a higher level of responsibility. And so I think that this is a positive lesson for us to see the... Am I doing okay? This is a positive lesson for us to see the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and the obligation that we have to cherish it and to use it responsibly so that when the time comes to return it, we can return it in its full beautiful, pristine condition. We'll stop here.